Amen. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Thank you for Brother Brent. Thank you for Brother Pirtle, Sister Kristen. Amen. Music, those who have been involved this morning. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse 5. Amen. My notes are in my office. I was working on this, and I have other notes that today that I thought was for this service, but I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost. Amen. I don't need notes sometimes to direct me. I need the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Ephesians 4 and verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. There's just one. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I thank that the Lord God is my shepherd today. The maker of the universe, the one that spoke this world into existence, is the God that I serve. And we're thankful that we know that in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the scripture said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and him only shall you serve." This is one of the great things they teach a child. Even in Israel today, a child that is born, even the Bible, Israel, the time of the Old Testament, this was the scripture that they taught their child. When their child was born, the first thing they heard in the ears of that child, and they would whisper in the ears of that child, that, "Hear, O Israel, hear, people of God, the Lord your God is one." Amen. Can you hold up one finger with me? Amen. And I want you to just tell me, there's just one God. There's just one God. Amen. There's just one way. There's not three ways, 10 ways. There's just one way, one Lord. Amen. God has to be your Lord. There's other lords in this world, masters and conductors and engineers, amen, at the lead of people's life. There must be the Lord God as your shepherd, the one in the lead position. If he's not Lord of all, he cannot be Lord at all. Hear me, God has to be the one, amen, that you're connecting your life to, like a train that has an engine and all the other cars are connected to it. God has to be the lead of your life. If you're not connected with him in a relationship, see, faith, amen, is always relational. If your relationship is not connected to God, you will not be going with the engine. You're going to be left behind. You ever seen a train stop and disconnect a car, and that car is left behind? Hear me today. What keeps you is your faith and your connection in Jesus Christ and your relationship, because faith is not just something in your brain. Faith is relational. It is connecting to the Almighty God. Today I want to preach from the simple title, The God Market. The God Market. I come to talk to our hearts today with a burning desire that the Lord has spoke to me. We're living in an hour, you think with me, where there are people that have taken God and they've taken his word, his truth, and they believe that there is a God, but he is not in the Lord position of their life. And you could go to church, and there's a crowd that you could get in the crowd and the movement of the crowd and still not have him in the lead position. You could conduct your life in a manner of just a custom of being a Christian, that you don't do bad things, you don't say bad words, you don't participate in bad things, you live a relatively good life. But hear me, being good is not good enough if God is not God in your life. Amen. Oh, we're living in an hour where Christianity has been taken and put before people to where, amen, offering millions of people today in our world claim to be Christian, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not in the lead of their life as their shepherd. He is not in the lead position. He has no way of touching them, correcting them, talking to them. My question today, is God still your shepherd? Is he still the lead of your life? Amen. He has to be number one to you. He has to be the voice of influence. He has to be the voice that begins to help you. He has to be the voice that begins to help grow your life, grow your faith, and lead you somewhere else than where you're at right now. Does he have the power to tell you no and you respect that no? Does he have the power in your life to tell you whoa and stop right there in your tracks? Is God the shepherd of your life, or is he just a Sunday figure that you come and talk about and come and listen about? Oh, friend, I'm telling somebody today, the Lord wants to be your shepherd. The Lord wants to be your king. He wants to be your God. He wants to be the lead of your life. Going to church don't make you a Christian. Amen. I'm talking to somebody's soul today. Amen. We're living an hour, I want you to think about it, to where all forms of religions are in our world. And everybody said, well, there's a bunch of roads that lead to New York. Hey, friend, we're not going to New York. There's only one way, amen, to go into the kingdom of God. There's not 20 ways to get to heaven and this way and that way. That church sign out there is not going to do you any good. But the word of God, the way of God, and God being at the lead. There are people that read this book. There are people that memorize this book, but God is still not at the lead of their life as the shepherd. They have lived and they say God is their God. With their mouth they profess him, but their heart is far from him, the scripture says. In the book of Revelation, the third chapter, I believe, let me just think, even the third chapter, John the Revelator began to see in the spirit, and he began to talk to a church called Laodicea. They were rich, increased with goods. They had everything they needed. And then the scripture says, and had need of nothing. We're living an hour where, amen, we're living very well comfortable. And in our comforts, we have no need of God. No need of God in our life. So the most dangerous position you could ever get is when you yourself, your self person, your individual person, that who you are, becomes the lead of your life. You become your own guide. You become your own God, so to speak, to where what you feel begins to motivate you. The way that your attitude and the atmosphere and the climate of your mentality and feelings begin to guide your life. But hear me today, God does not operate off of man's feelings. The word of God is still the word of God. Amen. Oh, friend, God is looking for somebody to connect with him, somebody to let him lead as a great shepherd of their soul. As even the scripture says, return unto your maker. Return to the shepherd of your soul. Amen. We're in an hour where we've got to return to our God, the maker of our soul. Today I'm preaching about the God market. Let me talk to you. Let me explain to you, amen, what it is all about. Do you remember back in ancient times where people didn't know who God was? And whatever they needed in that hour, whether they needed rain, they needed rain to fall on their crops, they begin to say, surely there's a God that makes the rain. We're not treating the God, the rain God, correctly. So they would appeal to the God they call the rain God. And they would make an image and they would say, this is what I feel the rain God looks like. Somebody felt that, hey, this is a rain. And after a while, amen, they begin to pray, rain God, we need help. But friend, when you're comfortable and in need of nothing and your life is okay, guess what? You don't need the rain God. You start saying, well, I got it together. And Laodicea church got to that place, they no longer needed God, the God of heaven. They no longer needed help, so they did things their way. They felt comfortable, and they thought they were okay, the scripture says. But the Bible says very plainly, in the Spirit, the Lord spoke through John the Revelator, said, you need eye salve, that you could anoint your eyes, that you could see your condition. They were oblivious of their own condition. In other words, they were lukewarm. They had no need of anything. They thought they were really hot. They thought they were really on top. They thought everything was fine, but they didn't need God. Oh, friend, we go to the market many times because, as a consumer, we go because of need. We go because we go, I need to get fuel in my vehicle. And I enjoy the AC in my vehicle. I enjoy when I travel there's AC. But it takes fuel. It takes diesel for that old gold Dodge. And friend, diesel's over $5 a gallon. I have to go because of a need. Amen. If I really want to make it here and there, you got to go. So we go to the market because of need. And in the ancient times, there were people that market. They went to the market of God. And they begin to say, God, I need this, I need that. And so their God was made according to their need. They didn't know the one true God. And so they begin to say, you know, there's a power out there. There's a strength. There is a supplier out there. So we need to pray to him. We need rain, but also our crops need. We need our crops to produce. And so they would pray to the God of what we would call agriculture. They would fashion all these different gods. And they would set them up and pray to these gods and say, we need you. They would go to the market of need and say, I need a supply. Oh, please help my crops. Or maybe sickness would move through their land. And they, because of that that need that was driving them, they would go and say, we need something of health. Who is that God that can give health to our beings? My babies are sick. They have fever. They're throwing up and they can't hold anything down. And pretty soon, even the grown people were sick. And so they began to search for a God to help them. They began to search. That need drove them to the place to search and look. Have you ever had a need and you said, man, I got to find this particular part. I got to go. I'm looking for this. Today we can, I mean, in a matter of moments, you could take and search the internet and find unique parts and certain things. But back in those days, they didn't have internet. They didn't have those things. They began to search. Surely there's a God out there. Surely there's a source that we could pray to that could heal our people, our village, our children. Our parents are dying. Our elderly are dying off. Oh, before we get one of them buried, another one is sick again. Here we are in a situation where we need help. So they would continue. You get in the picture now. They had all forms and shapes of God. Those that fish for a living had a fishing God. Those that begin to do certain things that they relied on strength, they had a God of strength. There was Thor. There was the God of lightning. There was God of this and a God of that. Pretty soon the market was filled with all kinds of gods. All shapes, all sizes. And the Bible says that they would carve many of these images out of logs. And from the same log that they carved their God and set them up, they would fall before them. And this image, they would take the chips of wood that was left over. They would heat their oven with the same substance they made their gods out of. And even when they chiseled out a rock, they would take the pieces of the rocks and they would put it in the pathway to pave the pathway. Can you imagine walking over the substance that your God is made out of? And some would take it and make it out of gold and silver, all these different things. Pretty soon the market was so great. There was multiple gods. And people were still in need. The emptiness was still, the drive was still there. I need God. I need something in my life. And friend, amen, they searched. They said, surely there's something out there. Amen. And the Bible begins to speak. There was a time that Paul came to a certain place. There was idols everywhere in this certain area. And he came to an idol with this inscription on it. to the unknown God. And they said, you know, I know there's something else out there. We got this God, that God, that God, and that God. But surely there's an unknown God. We need to build a shrine and a statue just in case we miss one. But Paul, amen, he began to tell them, hey, as I passed by, I saw one of your gods. And it had the inscription to the unknown God. I want to declare him unto you. Are you thankful today that there's a real God? Amen. There is a great God. There's a Savior who knows us. Amen. And I'm so thankful that my God can lead me. My God can provide for me. My God can touch me. My God can speak to me. My God can love me back. What a mighty God we serve today. So the God market was flooded with all different images, all different types. Because these were need-driven things. But I want to tell you what's worse than having gods of silver and gold and stone. Can you imagine had a god made out of clay? After a while, the clay began to crumble. A god made out of porcelain, pretty soon the toddler runs in the house and trips and knocks your god over and it falls into pieces. Your god went to pieces. I'm glad I serve a God who's stable. But worse than all these other gods would be when a person felt like, I don't need God. I don't need a deity in my life. I don't need anything. When they begin to feel that they themselves has all power, intellect, notions, manners, I'm capable. And friend, pretty soon on the market, their God wasn't something they shaped, but their God was the person, the image, and the mirror. Where a person feels like, I don't have to listen to authority. I don't have to follow the traditions. I don't have to go the ways because I found something. When a man begin to, or a woman begins to feel like they are, you know, I got it. You watch it. They think they're somebody. And after a while, their ego is so inflated that they forget their maker. Even churches get to that place. And I wanted you to know that I've been in places where talent was so rich, where every singer had it all together, every musician was the tops. I grew up in a very talented church. I grew up in a church where, I mean, they had the best of the best. There's musicians that went to my church that moved to Nashville, that began to play in Nashville in studios. There are people there, amen, that had it together. Let me tell you, just because there's talent, I've been in churches where they didn't even have any music and had just as much of a move of God than a church that had it all together. The difference is when you have the real God at the lead of your life. Don't ever get to the place where you're deceived and you become blind. You think you got it together. You think, well, I'm young. I don't have to have God right now. Hey, you need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. One of the worst things that could ever happen to an individual is when success comes in your life and you really don't need God. Bigger things and better things are out there. I don't need a pastor. I don't need the church. I don't need the voice of anybody in my life. I am who I am, and I'll do it my way. When my way becomes greater than his way, you're in trouble, friend. Amen. Hear me. You need to examine yourself, the scripture said, and check your heart, check your life, and see if you're in the faith. But friend, when you put yourself in the God market, you become the most detrimental. You're worse than having idols made of stone and gold and silver and diamond. You become something dangerous. You see, let's talk about the modern and the market of the modern today. When something is modern, for example, fashion, and what's modern, it's like this. What was in fashion a year ago is out. It's always something new and something better and something greater. And you discard what was in last year's fashion. And now you got to go buy this new thing because it's in. Everybody's getting it, and I don't want to be left out, so I go and buy this new thing. You see, there are people that are chasing things and fashions and customs and mindsets. And this is the words that our society says, I can't live without it. There are people that will go and pay ridiculous amounts of money for a purse just with the label on the side of it. Or a pair of shoes just because that's a certain brand. Or a suit because it has a certain label in it. Or I got to have the latest and greatest vehicle. I got to have this. They would literally go bananas trying to stay up with the fashions and their image. They're trying to keep their image. Y'all getting it now? Because they have put themselves in the God market. That everything, I mean, yeah, you know, years when I was a young boy, they had what they call a leisure suit. I mean, remember the leisure suits? The older people knows what I'm talking about. I don't want them to ever come back. But we have watched through the ages where things that used to be in came back in. Things back in the days of Sister Riley, she thought she would never see those again. Started heading back in. They cycled back in. And friend, the appeal, you know, it's never ending. They come, fashions come, and fashions go. And I want to just talk to you about that modern marketplace to where you constantly, amen, you had to keep yourself up. You got to keep your image up. Amen. You think about the drive that's in the mindset of our young people today, my age, people below, and even those that are teenagers today. They feel like, man, if you don't fit, if you don't look like the Barbie, if you don't have it all together, if your nose is not right, go get another nose. If your ear is not right, go fix your ear. Inflate your lips, deflate, even trying to fix yourself to fit in. But hear me, we got to remember our Creator. We got to remember our God. This market of life today will drive you crazy. But we've got to remember one thing, God hasn't changed. How can it ever, never change? Never changing, all-present God compete with the mindsets that I've just explained to you, to where people that are searching in need on this side of the market and people at this part of the market, they're driven by something, an appeal and a desire. I got to keep my image. You know, a sad thing, I heard it said the other day. We live in a generation where there are people that hates crowds, that loves crowds, but hate people. There's preachers that love crowds, but they hate people. There's singers, musicians that love the crowd, but they can't stand people, individuals. What a sad generation. We have platformed talent and paraded talent where they forget their God and their Maker. Hey, friend, I'd rather have a move of the Holy Ghost in my... I'd rather have Jesus as the shepherd. I'd rather have Jesus say, no, 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 no. Amen. You can't go that direction. Than for me to say, it don't matter anymore, God. Amen. I'll do my own thing. Hear me. Who's at the lead of your life? Amen. I'm thankful today that there's just one God. Amen. I want to tell somebody, amen, should we look for something else? No. I'm glad I don't have to go to the rain God and do a rain dance. I'm glad I don't have to go to the fertility God and take my baby and throw that baby in the fire just to appease that fertility God. I'm thankful, friend, that I have the God of my salvation with me. Think about it in Acts the 7th chapter. Stephen, right before he got stoned, was preaching a message. And you know where he made them angry? When he preached about those that followed Moses and Abraham and Moses, God raised up this Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the people of God, when they got out of Egypt, the Bible says they turned in their hearts back into Egypt. They were not in Egypt. They were in the wilderness, but their hearts turned back into Egypt. The most detrimental place a person can ever get is whenever you turn back in your heart, back into sin. You may be physically in the church and come into the house of God, but hear me, your heart is elsewhere. You're in a dangerous place because you have stepped in a generation where the appeal and the market is so swift, you'll never compete. You'll never make it because there's somebody always bigger, better, greater, richer, and has a other name than your name. Let me just talk to us today, young preachers in this place. There's always bigger names. Amen. I can remember in Bible college, there was the guys, their daddy was somebody. They were from a blue blood family. And friend, they got to preach all the time, different places in big churches. The only place I got to preach was a little home missions churches. And I would knock the doors and go places, and these big name boys and girls, man, they had it together, and I didn't fit in with them. But today, when I look in the rearview mirror and look back, I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord, because God don't look at your size, and he don't look at who you are. Amen. He don't look at your name. But God says, if anybody who's willing and obedient will follow me and let me be their shepherd, I'll lead them and guide them. I want to just tell you the bad, sad news. Many of them don't even live for God. Some of them in prison today. There's some that I went to Bible college with that are in prison that were the stars of the hour. Some of them are now homosexuals, men and women, that held microphones, that played music, that wooed everybody. So what? If the Lord is not your shepherd, if he's not Lord of all, you're just in a place where in the market looking for something. When God says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I changeth not. Who do you want to be in the lead of your life? It's going to take an everyday relationship, an everyday commitment. Brother Colton taught in the adult class about prayer. When we don't pray, we stray. Very quickly, prayer is more than just going to the appeal and going to the market and saying, I need rain, I need help, I need healing, I need. Hey, don't go to the market. God does answer needs. But sometimes God wants you to come to his throne and say, Lord, I just come to talk to you. I just come to love you. I didn't come to ask for anything. I just come to bless you. How would you like a child? All they did was just say, gimme, gimme, gimme. And they live like, I don't want to love you. I don't care about you. I don't need you. Just gimme, gimme, gimme. That's the mentality of so many today that go to churches. But today God is looking for somebody that would say, Lord, you're my God. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in us all. Amen. I'm connected to the great shepherd of my soul. Amen. Would you stand with me in this building right now? God is in this place. Amen. Oh, he's calling somebody to return to him today. Return to your maker. Return to your God. Get out of the marketplace. Amen. Get out of the marketplace where you have shopped and played around. Amen. Only time you need God is when you have a problem. Only time you pray when you're in a circumstance you can't get out of. Amen. Oh, friend, and if you're in the place where you think you're somebody and you're building yourself up And you're supporting your own image. Hear me today. You are setting yourself up for failure. You think you're somebody, King Saul? You're going to die a miserable, miserable man with a crown that is not worth a hill of beans. What good is your crown when there's not anointing with it? Hallelujah. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. The way to come back to him is to repent. Repentance is more than saying, God, I'm sorry. Get the dirt off of me. Many times we want God to take the dirt off us to keep our reputation clean. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you say, God, forgive me, for I am a miserable creature. But God, I just don't give you my misery. I give you me, the person that I am. Amen. God is here today to take that kind of repentance where somebody would give themselves to him today. Amen. Will this congregation lift your hands above your head? Let it be a sign of something. Come on, there's somebody who needs to obey the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. If I've ever felt today, remember, I didn't come in with a bit of notes to preach this. I felt the Holy Ghost tell me to preach it. Amen. Oh, God, I pray for the glory of the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. God, you're dealing with souls here today, God, that need to make a turn, that needs to make a return to you, their maker, their God, that have forgotten. Lord, they need to come to you, Lord, and get eyes sad that they can see, that their eyes could be open again. They're miserable. They're blind. They're poor. And they're naked without you, but they think they're fine. Hell will be full of people that went to church. Do you know hell is for good people? There will be good people in hell. I need to do more than be good. I need God as my shepherd. Hallelujah. You need to get out of your chair this morning. If you ever prayed, amen, you need to pray today. Hallelujah. You need to make a move towards God right now in this service. Hallelujah. You could push me off as a pastor in the message today, but you're not going to push God off. Hear me. Amen. God is wanting somebody to return to him this morning, to turn to him in repentance. Come on, you think you're man enough and big enough? All it takes is one little wrong move, friend, and you're reduced down to nothing. Young lady, you think you're beautiful in your ways. You think, but in God's eyes, how do you appear? You think you're something. How do you appear before the Lord today? Yeah, you've been in the market. You've been searching for things to fill your heart, and nothing has fulfilled you. I want to tell you, there's nobody like Jesus today. Nothing like him. He's here, the great I am. He's the beginning and the ending, Alpha, Omega. He's the completer of your life. He's the peace that passes understanding. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the bright and morning star. He's all sufficient. He's a director. He's Alpha, Omega, the bread of life, the comforter, the counsel. He's divine and everlasting. He's faithful, he's great, he's holy, incorruptible. He's a just God. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's a lamb that was slain from the very beginning of the earth. He's mighty. His name is holy, and there's no other name beside his name. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He's the power from on high, and he's the God of peace. He's the one that gives quality and qualifies you. You can't come any other way but beside him. He's the resurrection. He's salvation. He's truth. He's understanding. He's virtue. He's wisdom. He's excellence. He's the Yahweh, the Lord of our soul, and the God of Zion. And he awaits you today to return to him. Come on, give it all to Jesus. Sister Kristen, go ahead, whatever you feel. Come on, talk to the Lord today.